Hello, my name's Tom Walker. Welcome to this podcast. I'm at the NEC in Birmingham, attending an optical exhibition called Optrafair with Daniel Williams from Visualize Training and Consultancy. Dan and the team have brought their Seeing Beyond the Eyes roadshow to the exhibition, and when I caught up with him, I started by asking Dan to explain the Seeing Beyond the Eyes initiative.
We have now trained 2,500 eye care professionals to empower them with the knowledge so that they can support their patients with low vision. My mantra has been through the whole roadshow that actually you don't know what you don't know. And if the optometrists and the dispensing opticians have never been told about the sight loss sector and what's available, then they're never going to refer their patients on to the vital support that they require.
What problem were you actually trying to tackle?
So we know from research that we've carried out that many patients, 70% of patients, do not get referred to services that they require and they deserve. So for example, if patients are not being referred to sight loss charities, to ECLOs, or to rehabilitation workers for the visually impaired. So our mission is to train up the eye care professionals so that they're aware of these professionals and aware of the referral pathways that they can do to make people's life better, and also how they can make their practices more accessible by making their physical practice more accessible, looking at colour contrast, lighting, signage, but also letters and communications, making sure that they're accessible to patients so that no patient misses their appointment, for example, if they're sent a small print letter, making sure that patients are all sent large print letters or text messages or emails. And it's small things, but it makes a huge difference to patients' lives so that they can live a fulfilled life just like opticians.
So you guys really have the power to refer people on, because if you refer people on, you will change lives and you will also save
You've
lives.
Trained over 2,000 dispensing opticians and optometrists. What themes have emerged from those training sessions? What issues are on their minds?
The perceived barriers from optometrists and dispensing opticians is many of them just weren't aware of the support services that are available. And many of them may have links with their local sight loss charity in that they have a fundraising box in there, but then maybe they don't have their leaflets in there, or they're aware of them in terms of they have a fundraising box, but they don't know how to access their services, or they've never actually visited their local sight loss charity, or they're not aware of the professionals that are in the sight loss sector.
Yes, that's right. So first thing, we need to try and allay their fears. If they are worried about what that might mean in the future, we then discuss with them whether there is treatment available or whether it's something that's going to be progressive.
And explain that peripheral vision one would be okay for us.
That's right.
What lessons have you learned personally?
I've been quite humbled, to be fair, that about what optometrists and dispensing opticians, their feedback has been amazing. It's been very encouraging to know that they will now help their patients now they have the knowledge to see beyond the eyes and that they are aware of where to send their patients to.
How will you change what you're doing as a result of what you heard today?
Yeah, I'll tell the people I work with more about it. So everybody I work with, I'll tell them about it so we know where to refer stuff, tell them to go to the website if they need more information, that kind of stuff.
Well, I'm in education, so it's different, but I will take some more of your leaflets down to the vision clinic and speak to the low vision person.
I guess kind of promoting like the fact that we can help with low vision from sort of an early stage and even actually support patients throughout, maybe advise them like where they can go even if we can't help directly.
And you, how will you change the way you provide services?
I think referring to the different services I wasn't aware of before, so I think that's a big thing today that I didn't really realise that I could do, so yeah.
What have you learned today that you didn't know before?
Well, in terms of obviously the you know, that you can refer based on the fact that even if they're not officially sight impaired or severely sight impaired, so you can, if not certified, you can still obviously, there's organisations that can help.
There's a lot of like obviously new electronic apps and extras that you don't often think about. You just think a lot of the time about the old magnifiers and maybe a sort of more traditional ways of helping with low VAs, but obviously now with the internet and all the technology, there's a lot of like electronic apps and things moving forward. So I don't think a lot of the low vision population necessarily know about that. So it's promoting again the services that are out there.
Well, I think it was just a brilliant talk, I'd like to say that. And I think to have that resource pack of organisations geared to particular conditions. I've got one of my closest friends has got nystagmus and is partially sighted. I found through her the Nystagmus Society to be incredibly helpful. I've been to one of their conferences and it's really great to have a summary of all of those that we can point people in the right direction for specific help.
I am actually a locum, but if I had my own practice, the first thing I would do is to make signposts, leaflets more available for not just the staff but for people that walk in through the practice, because they could be relatives, they could know people who are having problems.
After one of the Seeing Beyond the Eyes presentations, I had a quick chat with Mike Wheeler, who's the founder of the Eye Care Group. Mike was very impressed with what he heard.
It really was worth coming yet again a few months, well, probably over a year ago now, and very interesting indeed. You always learn something, don't you? And it's that little bit, and for people like me that it takes a while to sink in, bits come in there and you always find examples where you're going to use it in your own life to help other people.
But given your perspective and vast experience, and having listened to Dan's talk today, what could be improved? What would you change to improve things for people with low vision?
I thought the resource pack that they put together, it's excellent. So much so, I'm going to get some copies of those because they're very useful to hand out to people like myself who are not up to speed on one or two things. I first admit that, because we have busy lives.
So, for example, I had an optometrist recently that has been in practice for 40 years, and he said to me, I didn't know what was available for my patients, and I've seen patients with low vision throughout my practice and never knew where to send them, so I haven't sent them anywhere. But now I'm empowered with the knowledge to know where to send them, and it's been really, really humbling, actually, to know that they can help their patients.
You're coming to the end of the first phase of this initiative. What's the next stage?
To date, we've actually achieved a lot in the last 9 months of actually running the project. We've had a meeting with the council members from the College of Optometrists to get low vision higher on their agenda. We've had initial conversations with NHS England Optometry Division and their commissioners. We've had initial conversations with the Association of Optometrists and the Association of British Dispensing Opticians to get low vision higher on their agenda. And I've been, again, really, really delighted that we've had so many different organisations on board to actually support us and support our mission to get low vision higher on the agenda. I think for years and years, low vision has been very low on the agenda because, brutally, it doesn't make a lot of money to the practice, and that's the perception across the board. However, you know, it can make money to your practice, but equally, it can also change lives for the patients that you're serving. And if you refer your patients on for support, for example, their family and friends are going to come back to your business, and it just makes business sense from that perspective as well. So what's next for us is that we have come to the end, obviously, of the Thomas Pocklington Trust, and we've been delighted that the Thomas Pocklington Trust have funded us for the phase one that we've actually now completed. And what's next is that we want to continue the roadshows to train all 21,000 of the professionals, because we've only trained 2,500 so far, and our mission is to train everyone so that every patient gets referred to the right appropriate services in the right time. Because sight loss, as we know, it can be emotional. People will go through grief, they'll go through loss, and they'll go through acceptance. But in order to get to that acceptance phase, they need the right support. And if they're not empowered with the support, then they're never going to get to the acceptance stage. So many patients will just go home, they may sit on antidepressants, and you know, that's the reality of what we're dealing with. So it's really, really important. And I know personally that from my own personal experience, diagnosed at the age of 8 and not having any support services available to me, and then when I got to 16, having to Google my eye condition and understand it myself, and feeling very isolated, feeling like I went through a grief process, and I felt very, very depressed, and I you know, attempted suicide, and that was how low I become. And I don't want other patients to go through that situation, not knowing where to go for help and support. And, you know, they need to be empowered with the knowledge so that they can live a fulfilled life, really.
We're in the Seeing Beyond the Eyes a Low Vision Zone at Optrafair 2019. We've got a stand, and we've got around about 80 seats. And around us, we have low vision suppliers. We have charities like the RNIB.
That's the voice of Jayashree Vasani, who's the lead optician on the Seeing Beyond the Eyes project. Jayashree, tell me about your presentation. The last one I saw, it looked very busy.
Yeah, we had a full ship. We had lots of people engaged. The idea is that it's really important that eye care professionals actually know how to signpost people. We are quite good at referring people to ophthalmologists, but we're not very good at referring them to anywhere else. The important thing is, at the same time as a person gets a referral to an ophthalmologist, why wouldn't we refer to an eye care liaison officer? Why wouldn't we refer to a charity? And why wouldn't we refer to a rehabilitation officer?
You are the lead optician on this project. What are the lessons for the optical sector from the Seeing Beyond the Eyes project? What do they now need to do?
They need to take action, to be fair. We've had lots of people come. I think we've done 2,500 eye care professionals, and the time is to take action. It's great coming on a CET. You come out it feeling enthusiastic and what have you, and then the next day starts. It's time to take action.
What does that action look like?
So the action actually means getting in touch with your local charity, eye care, sight loss charity, finding out what they do, what their services are, maybe volunteering, making the practice practice more accessible to people with visual impairment, because that's a big problem. You know, the patient survey revealed that actually patients with visual impairment find accessing eye care on the high street a big problem. And that shouldn't be the case. We are professionals. We should be thinking about this sort of thing and thinking about accessibility for patients with visual impairment.
As you've said, you've trained well over 2,000 eye care professionals. What are the lessons for you from what you've done from this training project?
I think for me, I'm heartened to see so many people interested. I think people just need to have the knowledge. You don't know what you don't know, as Dan says often on the project. You know, people don't know about an ECLO, people don't know about rehab officer, and it, once they know, we know that they can refer. So I think the lessons are that, you know, it's important to people, for professionals to actually think about what's out there and actually get engaged. Find out who these people are and get your patients referred.
Jayashree Vasani, thank you very much. We'll go back now to my little chat with Dan Williams.
So I'm delighted to be at OptiFair 2019, and I'm delighted that we've got the first ever low vision zone, which is great, and we're doing back-to-back sessions to empower the optometrists and dispensing opticians with the knowledge and skills to support their patients effectively with low vision. And it's a great step in the right direction to have a low vision zone where we have Sight and Sound and Optilec and the RNIB, the Macular Society, the International Glaucoma Association, all around us, so that low vision is actually starting to be taken more seriously in the sector, and people are starting to have conversations with those professionals that can change people's lives for the better. But if people don't know about them, then they're never going to access them services. So it's all about empowering people to empower others. You know, an optometrist may feel that they can't do any more for that patient, but ultimately we know that there's so much more that can be done for patients with low vision, and they have a massive role to play in that, because they are the beginning of eye care and they have the ability to refer on, but they can't refer on to these services if they're not aware of them. So this is why we have to get the message out there, and we have to obtain more funding to continue the roadshows, because without these roadshows, where are these patients being sent to if the optometrists and the dispensing opticians are not aware of the services that are available to their patients with low vision?
Our next award is brand new for 2019. The Low Vision Award. Alan, who's made the inaugural shortlist?
Well, the judging panel were looking here for products, training and partnerships that not only identified low vision needs, but also created strategies to implement changes that transform people's lives. The finalists tonight are Judith Potts, Esme's Umbrella, Melis Eye Care, Stephanie Cairns, Sight Service, and the Seeing Beyond the Eyes team, Visualise Training and Consultancy.
And on the Saturday night of OptiFair, you had a rather good night.
We were the finalists for the Low Vision Award, which we were honoured to be. And it was a brand new award that I initiated, because I contacted the Optician Awards and I said, you've got lots of different awards, but you don't seem to have a Low Vision Award. And I think it would be really, really great if we could have a Low Vision Award. So with that, they took that on board, the feedback on board, and we did have a Low Vision Award. And we were really delighted to be shortlisted as a finalist for the Low Vision Award. And, you know, although we didn't win, which is fine, I'm just glad that there was a Low Vision Award on the agenda. And it went to Stephanie Cairns, a great optometrist who's very proactive in her area, who provides a great low vision service in Gateshead.
I'm just looking then to the future. The Thomas Pocklington Trust funding has now come to an end. What are you looking for now? Who are you trying to interest in the project?
So we would be delighted if people would like to sponsor or fund our roadshow so that we can continue our mission and to continue in to empower the optical profession to see beyond the eyes, to help their patients, and to get things moving, and to get low vision on that agenda. And I personally feel really, really passionate about getting this message across. But it's vital that we empower the whole profession, not just a few of the profession. So for me, it's we need funding to continue the roadshows from anyone, really, who will be passionate and who will complement our mission.
Dan Williams, a man with low vision on a mission. Thank you very much.
Thank you.